It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome, welcome to Money for Lunch. Good to have you here. I'm excited for you. We have a great lineup, but I wanted to talk about this real quick, and that is being vulnerable. Thank you. Vulnerable. Hey, English is my second language. Bear with me. See, I'm being vulnerable by telling you that. But I want you to think about this today. It's fully embracing your vulnerability, right? And let's see, I'm not sure if it's up on our website yet. Amy, is it up on our website yet? I want you to check out this really cool video by Brené Brown, and it's called The Power of Vulnerability. And it's very lighthearted. It's a TED Talk. She's funny, but she's got some very amazing insights how we get rid of shame, how we can feel better about ourselves. So if you go to moneyforlunch.com, you can see the video there, or you'll be able to see it soon. And in this video, she talks about embracing your vulnerability, that people that embrace their vulnerability believe that what made them vulnerable also is the thing that made them beautiful. And they didn't think about, or they didn't talk about vulnerability necessarily being comfortable, but it's not necessarily excruciating like we all think it might be. And it might be the thing that sets you free. You know, one of my favorite people, one of my dearest friends, is a gentleman named Dr. Joe Vitale. And he is a guy that is very vulnerable. He'll tell you his failures, his struggle with weight. He'll, you know, some of the issues that he had with his parents. And that vulnerability, you know, creates a connection. And it's sometimes the thing that we try to hide. And when we try to hide this vulnerability, it causes us to feel shame. It causes us to feel unlovable. And when we feel unlovable, we act completely different. Think about this. So check out this video, and it's going to be on our website. Is and I'm waiting for Amy to give me the verification that it's up there. But I'll tell you when it's up there. Check it out. It's one of those videos. One of those TED Talks that'll change your life. All right, let's start it here. My first guest, Jason Drone. Jason Drone has been marketing online for 8 years, working with literally thousands of entrepreneurs, hundreds of businesses through his courses and done-for-you services. He's best known for his quickest path to cash strategies, where he cuts years of testing and development out of clients' lives and deliver sales funnels that are both automated as well as profitable. Jason Drone, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert, how are you?
Good, man. Good to have you back. Always good to have you on the show. Things are starting to get nice and beautiful there in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's not nearly as warm as it was. We have about probably 2 weeks before the snow starts flying. So,
all right, well, let's talk about this. I want to talk about what's the best, quickest way to get exposure for your business. Talk about that.
Okay. So we've been testing, as you know we do a lot of paid traffic. We do a lot of email marketing, sales material, sales videos, webinars. The question often becomes, in working with clients, the question is, how can we get started the quickest, cheapest way, you know, basically to expose our solution to as many people as possible? And one of the best things, it's a new feature that Facebook has added, probably, it's not new, I mean, but one of the best ways that some of our clients are able to get out in front of their ideal prospects is by video. Now, video as a marketing medium has been around for a long time. You know, there's video sales letters, there's promotional videos, there's, explainer videos. There's all kinds of different videos, you know, that can be put together from a marketing standpoint. But what these videos are is they're a quick way of getting a business to talk about their service, talk about the solutions that they offer, talk about some of the benefits that they have for an end user, and just very simply creating a Facebook video views ad campaign. And what that does is it lets you put your video in front of your ideal prospect, you know, introducing them to your solution, introducing them to your service or your product or your, you know, local business or whatever, and just simply making them aware of it, you know, simply making them aware that there is a solution that exists in the market and that they can, they can get access to it. So if you think about the way infomercials used to run and still run, but used to run, you know, so infomercials for 30 minutes or 60 minutes, you know, they would be up and playing on a channel, usually during pretty dead air time. And
sure.
The goal was really just to, you know, introduce somebody to a solution and then take the people who are more active, you know, more actively looking for that solution, you know, having them pick up the phone or call them or, you know, go to their website or whatever. So this is a way of just a paying per video view without necessarily needing a huge five-figure ad budget to get in front of an ideal audience. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if I understand you correctly, we can do like I'm assuming these are short videos, one, mm-hmm. 2-3 minute long videos. And you can, like you said, target your ideal audience and you're only paying for video views.
Right.
So if you have, let's say, a target audience I'll just say 10,000 people in, let's say Phoenix, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and only 1,000 of those people actually look at your videos, you're only paying for that 1,000.
Yeah, at a cent or 2 cents per video view. So it just depends on the interest group, but the most I've ever paid is 3 cents a video view. So if you have 1,000 people, you know, who are watching or being exposed to your brand, it's 3 cents a view. And really the campaign has two benefits. So one of them is they can click on the video, they can wait, they can watch the whole thing, and there's a button that pops up afterwards that says that, you know, click here to go to the website. So you're able to get website traffic and opt-ins and leads and all of that stuff, you know, from the video view itself. And then there's a button underneath the video and so on. That's a benefit, but in my estimation, it's not the biggest benefit.
All right. So what do you think is the biggest? Oh, I guess you're going to tell me. Go ahead.
The biggest benefit is Facebook has this thing called custom audiences. So in custom audiences, what it does is Facebook will tell you like who's been on your webpage and you can advertise to them in the future. It's called retargeting is what it is. But when you post a video views campaign, and let's say 1,000 people watch the video views campaign, Facebook tracks how much of the video they watched. So if they watched 50% of the video or 75% of the video or 95% of the video, then Facebook hangs on to that data for you. And then you can put additional ads in front of those people. So if, let's say, 1,000 people watched 50% of your video and you were talking about you were talking about your plumbing services. So 50% of your video. And then when they're scrolling down their newsfeed, you know, all of a sudden an ad pops up for you, you know, for your business that says, you know, click here to schedule an appointment. You know, so in only the 50% of people, you know, only the people who watch 50% or more of your video are actually seeing that second ad. So the cost is greatly reduced. Now you're not just advertising to the universe of people who would be interested in your services. You're only advertising to the people who watched 50% of your video and know who you are, and would that signify the interest in your services. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let me recap. So you have this video, and this person watches, as you said, 25%, and that's when they see the pop-up that says, hey, go to my website to get the free report or to find out more or to get the latest,
right,
greatest, whatever.
Yep, that's when the ad – yep, it's actually two ads. The first ad is a video, and the second ad is just an image, you know, just a normal image ad. But they trigger each, you know, so depending on how much of the video they watch signifies their interest, which triggers the second ad showing up farther down in their newsfeed.
So I love this because it's really somebody, like, as you said, they were interested enough to watch 25% of the video. So they obviously have a high level of interest. And now you make them the offer at that right moment. They click on the offer and they're opting in, hopefully, but they're being sent to your website to see the full offer. And it could be, and that offer could be a longer video, could be a sales letter, it could be whatever the offer is, but bottom line
exactly is
they're obviously more interested.
Right. So we've had clients who have started with $10 a day. You know, so $10 a day, $5 goes to the video views campaign. You know, so $5, they get 500, let's say, video views. And then the second ad is $5 a day. You know, and because those people are so engaged and so interested in your service or in your product, then it increases the click-through rate, it increases the conversion on that second ad. So just from an engagement standpoint, you're only advertising really to the people who are interested in your stuff, and you are making sure that they understand that your solution exists, even if they aren't interested at this point.
Right, and we all know, because we've all experienced this, we have all said, you know what, I'm looking for the solution, and maybe you're doing some basic research about the solution you're looking for, and all of a sudden you see an ad or a video or something, and you're saying, wow, this person might be able to solve my problem. Let me find out a little bit more about them. And so you may go onto their website to see if this person can actually help you with the solution you're looking for. Doesn't mean that you're going to buy, but now there's some awareness there, and this person may buy from you a month down the road, 3 months down the road, 2 years down the road. This is something that we've all done, and that's why it's so important to maintain that advertising campaign, that marketing campaign, because somebody that goes to your website today is probably going to forget your name tomorrow, but if you're consistently marketing – they're going to go, oh, that's that guy who does this, or there's the girl who solves this problem, and you're keeping that, you know, that what do you call it, that top of mind awareness. They're seeing you time and time and time again. You know, a lot of people forget this. Tony Robbins is a huge name, but you mentioned infomercials. Tony Robbins is an infomercial king. He's been on the air as an infomercial for 30 years, the longest running infomercial. You know, and so here's a guy who has got literally millions of people around the world who know his name, but yet he still uses videos as a way to market himself. And I want to point that out, that there's people who have heard of Tony Robbins but have never bought anything from him yet.
Absolutely. It doesn't mean they're not going to. It just means they haven't yet.
Yeah. And of course, you know, there is always a percentage that'll never buy from you. But that's okay. But you know, that percentage exists with all products and services. But I just wanted to point that out, that it doesn't, you know, that everything takes time. That, you know, if you and I are doing a road trip and we stop at Nowhere USA and there's a McDonald's and over here there's Bubba's, we've never been to Bubba's. We've been to McDonald's. We know what to expect. We know, you know, and it may not even be our favorite place to eat, but because it's familiar to us, because they're now a trusted name because we've seen them for, you know, the last 100 years, will probably go to McDonald's because, again, we've been exposed to that name for years. We trust them. And it just takes time. My whole point is that whether you're Tony Robbins or McDonald's or the plumber, it's going to take time. But I love the fact that this video campaign you're talking about is such a nice shortcut to really kind of expedite that, to kind of turbocharge gaining that awareness, that exposure. And as you know, and that's part of the game.
Yes. And being at Facebook is keeping the audience data, the people who watched a percentage of your video for 180 days, it's max 180 days, then you can reach out to those same people for the next 6 months for your ad campaign. So it's not just an asset that is here today and gone tomorrow. I mean, it's an asset that you retain, you know, for your business, and you can have different product ads show up for those same people to walk through different solutions. I mean, it ends up being a great way of just pinpointing your audience.
Man, this is even more exciting because now I understand what you're talking about, the retargeting that you mentioned in the top of the segment. You have this is almost like creating an opt-in list without creating an opt-in list.
Exactly. They don't even need to be on your website anymore. They don't need to hit your website. They don't need to, you know, click a blog post. You don't need to spend a dollar or a click to get them to your website and then have them leave. All of this just happens inside Facebook now. You're able to just build your prospect audiences based on a video.
Man, I think this
is
fantastic.
They don't have to be nice videos.
When you say not, they don't have to be nice videos, you're saying they don't have to be some high studio production quality type video. It could be you on a smartphone.
It can be you on a smartphone. I mean, yeah, and one of the things that we've been doing a lot of is the kind of more motion graphics videos. You know, just a 15, 30-second video that has, you know, an image of a download, like a PDF report, and then just some bullet points of what that report is in. You get the benefits of video and the segmentation of custom audiences, but you don't have to be in front of a camera, nor do you have to spend $1,000 a minute on video production. It's just nice and simple.
I love it. I love it. This is cutting edge stuff. This is why
Jason really is.
I was going to say, this is why you work with so many people. So many people turn to Jason Drone. Jason, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for stopping by. If you want to find out more about Jason Drone and maybe talk to him about getting some strategies to work for your business, you can go to jasondrohn.com, jasondrohn.com. Jason, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Good stuff there from Jason Drone. Just this one strategy, what would it do for your business? If you want some help, if you want to find out if this is a good strategy for you or your business, check out Jason Drohn, DROHN.com. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
We are back. My next guest, Dr. Frank Gibson. Dr. Frank Gibson founded the largest clinic of integrative medicine in the U.S. and sold it in 2006 to allow his dedication toward developing and manufacturing Subrexa, a botanical compound, and the founding of Avent Care and the Last Call program. He has appeared on over 50 television and radio programs in the U.S., been featured in dozens of magazines and newspapers, and presented 164 seminars in Germany, Switzerland, and the United States. Dr. Frank Gibson, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hello, Bert. It's really great being on your show. When I was introduced to you, I instantly connected with your broad topic approach, and I love it. Oh, and I have to say, I really love your term serial entrepreneurial. That's good. That's great. I might have to use
Thank
that.
Thank you. Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks so much. You know what? And this is kind of cool. So talk about this Sobrexa. What made you sell everything so you can focus on Sobrexa? What is this botanical compound that you're so excited about?
I created this because I had experience in my clinics with it. Sobrexa is technically a polyphytoceutical product where we extract chemicals from plants and make an all-natural product that actually reduces people's unusual cravings for alcohol. But it's really the passion that I think is our story here, because you really got me excited about the vulnerability factor, which then fits into aspects of fear of why people don't do what I did.
I like that. So let's talk about this. I mentioned in the intro the last call program. So talk about that a little bit before we get into the meat of our interview.
Well, last call program is an 8-week program. It's guaranteed. And after 8 weeks, 84% or more than 84% of people have seen a significant difference in cravings for alcohol. Some of them have lost their desire to drink, and most are not drinking excessively. At the end of 1 year, 84% of them are still, you know, either managing alcohol by moderation or they don't drink at all.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal program. And, you know, I spent 6 years of research on it and had it in my clinics for 17 years, and it's still inconceivable to me that it works. But, you know, it's based on the success of the human body.
That's amazing. That's a massively high success ratio. I'll give the audience here an example. There is that product for hair loss restoration, right? Doggone it, what's it called? Anyway, there's several of them on the market now. But when this product came out, it's supposed to help you with hair restoration, and it's only proven to be successful 50% of the time. And so,
yeah.
And that is considered a high success ratio. So 84%, you're talking about, you know, almost a miracle-type cure.
It is. And, you know, it started as a $7,500 program, and we just couldn't manage the volume. And what was interesting to me was that I was kind of talked into by my son who works with us and other founders, that let's get this directly to people. Let's make this at home. Let's make this low cost. Let's break down the social barrier so people can do this anonymously. Quite honestly, being more of a clinician, I really felt like the success rate was going to go to heck. And wow, it's just been a phenomenal. We dropped the price from $7,500 to $799, and it's just been phenomenal. It's been the greatest thing I've ever done in my life, Bert.
That is phenomenal, man. That is amazing. You know, bottom line is this is something that's affordable for just about everybody. They can do it in the privacy of their own home, which is also phenomenal. So a big kudos there to your son who got you to go this this at-home program, this online way, because you're able to reach people everywhere.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I just didn't believe it would work, and we put it up, and I thought, who's going to watch this? You know, I'm kind of in a generation where we're still trying to figure out what JavaScript is and whether we should hit that button or not. And it went crazy. We had over 3,300 clients in the first 12 months.
Man, it's amazing.
Consumer. Yeah, it really is.
Amazing.
But, you know, what's more amazing is that there's 15.1 million people in America that don't seek alcohol treatment, and it's primarily because only 1.2% of them believe it works. Then there's the social aspects, the job aspects. You get it on your insurance. Nobody's walking to the doctor's office and saying, hey, you know, I'm drinking too much, and boom, it's right on your insurance. And the social stigma is a factor. The cost is a factor. The anonymity, everything about it, we've broken the barriers down. And I think that's the reason why we had all those clients so quickly.
Sure. Let's talk about this a little bit. Here you are. You have the largest integrative medical clinic. You sell that to start what's, you know, what most people would say is a high risk venture? What kind of concerns?
Yeah.
I mean, were you like, thinking, man, you know, second doubting or what do you call it? Second guessing yourself, or was there some fear and what do you call it? In taking this step, talk about that a little bit.
Well, that's why vulnerability hit me when I'm anxious to see your video on that. But, you know, perhaps we don't step out of the norm and live in our passion because of fear. And fear stifling, it creates indecisiveness. Maybe people just would maybe procrastinate forever rather than risk failure. I can tell you that it was not a tough decision. And I can tell you from personal experience that if it's a true passion, you'll risk it all.
Ooh, and I like
then
that.
Whether, well, you will. I mean, and it's not a true passion. It's like, is there any such thing as a little freedom? No. You're either completely free or you're not. So whether you make a fortune or you lose it all, you'll be happy because you are successful in your commitment. If you can't see it that way, you should just stay in your comfortable life. And we've been able to help. You know, we've had over 10,000 clients. We've had, so you change one client, you change 10, 12, 15 people around, their friends, their family members, their work associates, their employees. I mean, this is huge and it's growing. So what if I was not willing to risk it all? You know, what's interesting is, yes, the business, and this one I think is, I thought a lot about, you know, what could be of interest to your listeners. I think we're all accustomed to watching various trends in our businesses. We watch sales, seasonality, product preferences, marketing. But what may be most useful in my story is that I was aware of my own personal trends and allowed this to move towards a totally different strategy and into changing. Because of my personal preferences, I allowed it to change. And you know, so I've had the opportunity to work on with something that's just going to help millions of people. It's addressing the number one health problem in the world. It's enormous fun, but you're right. What are the factors that keep people from doing it? And, you know, you're right. And my decision to sell a well-established, successful business that I really enjoyed to risk taking on the development of a completely new industry, I sat down and I watched several points evolve that helped me do it. But basically, I think that all of us, as we reach different stages of life, we can observe new meaning becoming more and more important. So while I had a successful business plan that proved viable and a good lifestyle, the business plan actually began to rewrite itself because this aspect of my clinics, the treating the people with alcohol disorders, became more and more significant. And I realized that probably 40% of the people that were coming there for, you know, whether it's hypertension or blood sugar problems, whatever, it was exacerbated or maybe even caused by alcohol. So this was more of getting to the root of the problem. And you know, it was quite a jump and quite a risk.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. But I love what you said there. It, you know, if it's truly a passion, then fear is not going to stop you. Nothing's going to stop you. We've all seen that. When you're truly, you know, passionate, committed, you're being pulled, and nothing can really stop you. Those obstacles, no money, not the right time, what do you call it? Fear, all those obstacles melt away or are greatly reduced because this is the thing that now is becoming an obsession. It constantly calls to you. And I just love that idea that if you're truly passionate about it, nothing will stop you.
No, and people ask me, so how did you do that? And I say, well, you know, if you even have to ask that question, should you even be, you know, thinking down the road on this?
Right.
I mean, it's true. You know, I have one of my favorite. I've given it to all my friends, but and especially people who are into boats. But on my boat, I have a Mark Twain quote that says, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. And
wow.
I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life wondering if I should do this thing. And, you know, I think a lot of people are better off procrastinating this because, you know, rather than to risk failure, because you have to be, you have to be. I mean, think about it. I made a decision 10 years ago to sell 3 successful clinics. I went home every day at 1 o'clock. I lived in a beach town. It was an idyllic life. My son was in the practice. You know, I had a great staff that had been there forever. And I decided I'm going to go risk this and do this because I believe in it.
Right, right. Well, and when you look at it, you've already mentioned this, but the impact that you have on people's lives. Look, you can replace a good doctor with another good doctor.
Exactly.
However, when you can create a product that changes somebody's life, that is priceless. When your product is able to, reverse some damage, when it's able to impact not only the individual patient, for lack of better terms, or customer, but all the lives around them, as you mentioned, that is priceless. That is a lot more satisfying long-term than, hey, I got 3 clinics that are booming. Now I'm impacting the world. I'm impacting, you know, thousands and eventually millions of lives.
Well, you're exactly right. We're restoring lives. We're restoring relationships, and
yes.
we're helping educate. You know, when you look at our materials and you look at what we're doing and what we put in front of people, we really have to sell this. This is a desperate situation. Our job and our marketing people are just wonderful at helping people understand, because there is now a science that everyone in the world agrees on, and we're actually the only product of its type in the world that is addressing this. And as an all-natural product.
I love it. I love it. And you can do it quietly. You can do it in the privacy of your home. So
yeah,
if somebody
yeah.
wants to find out more about Sobrexa, where do they go?
Lastcallprogram.com.
Lastcallprogram.com. Very easy to remember. Lastcallprogram.com. Dr. Frank Gibson, thank you so much for stopping by. This has been such an enjoyable interview. Looking forward to have you back again.
Great. Thanks, Bert. It's been fun. Bye.
Good stuff there from Frank Gibson. And I like this idea of a natural botanical product that can help you reduce these incredible cravings, in some cases get rid of the addiction. And you know what? This is a huge problem in the U.S. It's a huge problem in the world. So lastcallprogram.com if you want to find out more about Dr. Frank Gibson and his team. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, who's next?
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we're back. Looks like we had a little bit of a technical blip there. It looks like we had some dead air for about 10 seconds. I apologize for that. It's always a little frustrating. But it's good to have you here. I'm excited for my next guest, Melissa Washington. Melissa Washington is the author of Get Back to Work, Smart and Savvy Real-World Strategies to Make Your Next Career Move. She's a Navy veteran, speaker, podcaster, award-winning winner, and a LinkedIn workshop trainer who is passionate about connecting with people to engage, educate, inspire others across the nation. Melissa Washington, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Great. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
You bet. You bet. And so first of all, let's talk about being a Navy veteran. Thank you so much for serving our country. We appreciate that. And it's always good to have a hero here on the show.
Well, you're very welcome.
And you also lead the largest woman veteran networking group on the West Coast. Talk about that a little bit.
So I founded Women Veterans Alliance last year in Northern California as I saw a need for a Women Veterans Networking Group. There's really not one in existence. There are other veteran service organizations, which are men and women, but nothing that really brought women together to help them form a community, but also help them with professional development and networking and career development. So if a woman wants to start a business or find a job or help in her career, we want to be able to help her do that, but not just amongst our women veterans, but also to be able to connect her in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you're doing that. Let's talk about this. You became your own CEO, Me Inc. Let's talk about this. When did you get started with this? And did you do this right after the Navy? So two questions back to back there.
So, no, I've been out of the Navy for a little over 20 years, and I became what I call the CEO of Me Inc., which is not technically, which I'll explain. I got laid off from my job in corporate America back in 2009 when the economy, it was tanking. And instead of becoming a victim of that, I became a survivor and spent almost 2 years on a journey of career reinvention, where I ended up starting my own business, which also started my book. And as I was going through this process, I ended up helping other job seekers. And one of the things that came out of that is that when you're looking for work, you should become your own CEO of Me Inc. Because when you're looking for a job, right, you're selling and marketing yourself. So just, So if you put yourself in that position and think about that, it also gives you a lot more confidence instead of, okay, I got to submit another resume or I got to talk to someone, to be able to have that confidence. And just, you're the CEO, have business cards, get out there, and network.
Right. I love that, because it's a mindset. I love the way you're thinking about that. You got to get out there and you got to sell yourself as a product or a service or whatever as a solution to somebody else's problem, just like all CEOs do.
Absolutely. Or any small business, anyone out there. I mean, I have to do it, And
absolutely.
So just if you get your – it's a huge – you're right. It's the whole mindset thing. And so many people, get so discouraged when they have to look for work, whether they're unemployed or they're out of job and like, okay, I got to find a way to get out of here to have that mindset.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this. Obviously you work with LinkedIn quite a bit. Do you believe strongly about having an online professional presence such as LinkedIn, maybe having your own one or two page website, doing some blogging here and there? Talk about that.
So, absolutely LinkedIn, whether you're a job seeker, whether you're happy with your job, small business, I mean, everyone should be on LinkedIn. Now, when you get into the website, yes, if you're a business, you should have a website presence. And then, it gets kind of, fuzzy as far as the blogging, because most people I talk to do not blog. But, again, having that presence on LinkedIn, because, once you have a LinkedIn profile, you've created a professional online presence, because your LinkedIn profile is searchable on the Internet, and someone could look at your profile whether they have a LinkedIn account or not. So, having that LinkedIn presence, it can be a lot more stronger than just even having a website.
And certainly easier to find, right? I think that a lot of recruiters, a lot of people go to LinkedIn, and LinkedIn, because they're so strong, does a lot of the hard SEO stuff that if you and I just launched a website tomorrow, it may not be found or indexed by Google right away. So being on LinkedIn kind of gives you a nice little edge.
Oh, absolutely. And you bring up a good point about indexing in Google. I mean, LinkedIn is indexed constantly. So having that, and also too, building that profile, because someone may not know your name or my name, but they're looking for specific keywords, which is the same thing when you're setting up a website with SEO. You want to do the same thing in your LinkedIn profile and have those specific keywords so you can be found, whether it's by a hiring manager or by someone that wants to do business with you. You want to be found.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I love that idea. And you know what? I guess back to the whole blogging idea, it all depends, like a lot of things in life, what you do, what kind of job you have. I mean, obviously, if you're a writer, if you're a technical writer, maybe if you're in the legal profession, if you're in the entertainment profession, having a bunch of articles or videos or something that demonstrates your knowledge of your subject matter is probably going to be expected or at least looked well upon, right? As opposed to if you're service coordinator, people don't expect you necessarily to have a bunch of published articles.
Absolutely. And also too, with the blogging, you can get followers, you get that interaction. And also too, to switch back to LinkedIn, they have a great feature where it's, in a sense, it's a blog on LinkedIn where you can have a news article on LinkedIn where it's visible to more than just the people that you're connected to. So, and again, that's also visible outside of LinkedIn. So
yes,
having that visibility there with the LinkedIn users is doing that. So again, and that could be for anyone, the different types of business you listed out for blogging, that's perfect for that. But, blogging on LinkedIn can be for anyone. It could be that service coordinator. It could be a software engineer. It could be someone that wouldn't traditionally blog, but they may want to share something on LinkedIn.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Let's talk about this because I find this to be an extraordinary, interesting topic here, and that is 80% of jobs are never posted. Talk about this because, if they're never posted, how do we find them? How do we tap into this, quote, hidden job market, the dark job market, if you will?
Right. And it does. And it does exist. The last job that I had, actually, I ended up working with LinkedIn for a few years doing their global corporate event planning. And the job that I got was never posted. It was all about networking. It's all about who you know. And that's the key piece, the networking and who you know at different organizations. I spent over 10 years in recruiting and staffing, and I would hate to have to post a job because, you get all these resumes and they're unqualified. So if I didn't have to post it, or maybe I can post it internally where we have a great employee referral program and they could send me candidates, or I just want to already maybe have a bench of candidates, or I can go on LinkedIn and search and not have to post a job. Just how to best tap into that. It's all about making connections. And when I work with people that are looking for work, I tell them, don't spend a lot of time on a resume. To me, that's just a piece of paper. Your more effective time is going out to do informational interviews whether you want to call informational interview or meeting, and making a list of companies that you're interested in, finding out more about them so you can be on the radar when a job does open up instead of waiting for an actual job posting and be one of, 1,000 people that apply for a job.
Yes. Yes. So let me ask you this, because you have this background. Not only did you search for a job, but you also, as you mentioned, you were in the HR recruiting area. So let's say that I do submit a resume or I fill out an application online, like everything is really done nowadays. Am I coming across poorly if after I submit my resume, I contact you, the recruiter on LinkedIn? Would it be inappropriate for me to send you a note saying, hey, I've completed this application, very interested in connecting? How is that looked upon nowadays? Because back in my day, that was considered an eager beaver, somebody who really wanted to, that was considered a good thing. What about nowadays?
I feel it is because, again, that gives you that visibility, but also to leverage the people that know that person. So say you were the recruiter for a job and we both know Joe. So instead of me reaching out directly to you, I may want to reach out to Joe because, you know, most of the time other people speak better of ourselves than ourselves, right? Because, you know,
sure.
So why not leverage that relationship I have with Joe and that Joe has with you for Joe to talk about me and my qualifications? So if we can leverage the people that we know, and that could help us get, whether it's that job or that, you know, win that RFP or get, you know, get that new business and connecting with people we know.
I love that strategy because Joe can tell you all the wonderful things about Melissa, and it has so much more weight because it's not Melissa saying that. And
absolutely.
So it's that, what do you call it? It's that unspoken rule. If you talk about how good you are, nobody believes you. But if a third party talks about how good you are, it carries so much weight and credibility. So I love the idea of leveraging Joe or your contacts to kind of, you know, bring that awareness to that person's mind and speed things along. That's a great idea.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's why it's important to be on LinkedIn and to have contacts so you can see who knows who. Because maybe, you know, I also have Joe, but there's also two other people that know you that I know. So it's taking a look at to find out, okay, who's the best person that's going to be able to share, you know, the best information about me or know me the best for this type of position that I'm looking for.
Yes, I love that. I love it. All right, so let's talk about the, networking. I mean, we kind of started the show about networking, and this is one of the areas that you are passionate about, and you're a big believer that, you know, network. I mean, you talked about networking with people and leveraging that network. And so where should I be networking? I mean, obviously LinkedIn is your cyber networking area. Where else?
Absolutely. You know, and Bert, a lot of people get nervous when you say networking, right? They're like, oh my gosh,
yes.
That means I'm going to have to talk to someone or I got to have my elevator pitch, which you should already have, whatever you want to call your elevator pitch or your 30-second. But we network everywhere. We network at our kids' games, at church, in line at Starbucks. You know, that's networking. Any events that we go to, that's your networking. I call it the offline networking. And are you best prepared, you know, when you come in contact with someone? That is so key. And then whether you get their business card or, and also to be prepared with your business card. And people still do exchange business cards today. And are you prepared to be able to share what opportunities that you're looking for or, you know, types of jobs and to be able to be ready with that? So we just, you know, a lot of people, again, with the whole networking, they think it's okay, I have to go to this big event, there's going to be 1,000 people, I'm going to feel alone, but we network all the time, believe it or not.
Sure. No, absolutely. I love the idea that you just, you know, that everything we do is really a network. You never know who knows somebody. One of my, stories about networking, this is a personal story. I wanted to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger because I wanted to pitch him a specific business idea, but I had no way of contacting him. I mean, I tried through his office, but of course, you know, that's very difficult. I left a message, and then I decided to ask everybody around me, do you know how I can contact Arnold, how I can get in front of him? And to make a long story short, when I said I've asked everybody, I mean, I asked everybody, even people that I just met for the first time, I would ask them because you never know. Anyway,
yeah.
So long story short, I'm headed to a movie with a friend of mine and his wife. His wife is a stay-home mom. And I asked them both, hey, do you guys know of any way I can get a hold of Arnold? And of course, the husband, he said no, but the wife, the stay-home mom, if you will, said yes. I know how you can get a hold of him, and I can tell you when he'll be in town next. Long story short, I connected with Arnold. We stayed in contact for 25-plus years now, I meet with him on an annual basis. Bottom line is, back to your networking, everybody is a part of your network. The difference is whether you leverage them or not, whether you're utilizing them, and you never know who knows who.
Absolutely. And a lot of people, you know, they say, well, my family members, I don't want to, like, or I wouldn't connect with them on LinkedIn or I wouldn't ask them. But you never know. It's not about personally them, it's about who they know. Just like the stay-at-home mom, you wouldn't have assumed she would have known how to connect to Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Right? Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit more background information. The reason she knew is because she buys her vitamins from this vitamin place, and that manager had told her about Arnold coming into town. And anyway, bottom line is I got invited to that event. I was able to pitch him. So you just never know. And like you said, it could be the coffee person. It could be the coach. It could be another parent at the sporting event. It's anybody that you know or people really that you don't know. You just got to ask, and you got to ask. And before you know it, you'll be in front of somebody that can, you know, have a huge impact.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite sayings is you miss 100% of the shots you never take.
Yes. Yes. Right? I love that. It's absolutely. And you know, the other thing I've noticed, too, when we are afraid, when we feel that kind of fear, oh, man, that is exactly the shot that you should be taking. That fear that's, you know, when you feel like, man, I'm going to be putting myself out there. It's going to be awkward to ask Melissa for a referral. That's exactly when you need to do it, because that's the time that maybe Melissa or whoever you're feeling fearful about is in the right position to help you.
Yep.
Man,
they can't read your mind.
They cannot read your mind, but I love that. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And if you want to find out more about Melissa Washington and her book, check it out, Get Back to Work. Get Back to Work. It sounds, it's a great title for a book, because it's a very familiar, saying, right? Everybody, sooner or later, somebody's always, if it's not your parents, it's been your boss who's told you to, you know, get back to work. But anyway, the book is Get Back to Work, Smart and Savvy Real World Strategies to Make Your Next Career Move, by Melissa Washington. Melissa, it's been a blast. Looking forward to have you back again.
All right. Thank you so much, Bert.
You bet. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff from all our guests today. It's been a fantastic show. Jason Drone on using the power of video to really hone in on your marketing. Dr. Frank Gibson talking about taking those big risks and last call program. And then Melissa Washington, Get Back to Work, Smart and Savvy Real World Strategies. I hope that you've enjoyed today's program. And one of our guests today was a result of a suggestion from our listeners, you. Thank you so much for listening and making suggestions and interacting with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.